Paul Mavrogeorge of LinkCare presented a workshop at a recent European MemberCare conference, and he talked about addictions. To begin with, he introduced his definition of an addiction.
The area of addiction is huge. I've really reframed that a bit, and I think it's more destructive behaviors, because folks can get in bad habits, unhealthy habits. The Old Testament calls it habitual sin. I mean, there's all different ways for looking at the issue. But whatever the issue is, it's causing people to struggle, and we continue to do that thing that we don't want to do. I'm going to propose that addiction is an unhealthy attachment to objects, behaviors, or people.
Okay, that's what an addiction is. Last week, Paul began talking about what he calls the stages of addiction.
I've come up with three different stages where I find folks. And I think it's important to look at the stages so that you know what to do when these people are coming across your desks or you're coming into their home. First one is refusal. Second one is acknowledgement. And the third stage is admittance or acceptance. They're really admitting it or accepting it.
All right. Now, last week, we learned about those who are in the stage of refusal. And we learned some about some of those who are in the stage where they acknowledge their problem, but perhaps not completely. So let's review just a little bit and continue listening as Paul Mavrogeorge talks about them.
If their heart's really changed, then they'll be ready to do whatever it takes. They're going to still hold on to normal life. These are folks that want things to stay normal. These are folks that are going to say, you know what, you're right, it's a bad problem, but I don't want to put covenant eyes on my computer because my secretary may know. You're right, I want to deal with this problem, but I don't want to go do 2 weeks at Barnabas because we don't have time. You're right, boy, you know what, oh, we did do the 2 weeks at Barnabas, and then they said you need to go to LinkCare, but we don't really want to do that because we need to get back to ministry. It's that. It's those folks where people around them are still concerned and they're not ready to let go yet. They want to keep moving forward. But they're acknowledging that there's a problem. I'm agreeing with you. There's a problem. Intervention here, it's reality testing. It's really starting to say, well, no, wait a minute. Have you ever had periods of time before when you were able to stop? Well, yes. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Boy, this problem, this habit has been in your life now for 15, if we're talking about pornography, and if the male is, you know, I'm 40, average age right now, probably around 9 or 10, for guys my age, now the average age is even younger, 8 or 9, or sometimes 6 or 7, where they're being exposed to internet pornography. So now you have for a lot of men, it can be a 20-year habit. A 20-year habit. So let's see if we've got this. You have a 20-year habit in place, and you're saying that with all the pressures going on right now in the field, with all the things happening right now, that you really think that you're really able to deal with this? What would we be talking about if it was a physical problem? Would we be saying that you'd be able to be back in the field? What if it was cancer? What would we be saying then? So again, it's reality testing, okay? More kind of Socratic reasoning with them. Pointing out the minimizations. I got to be honest, you know, it just seems like we kind of met yesterday, and it seemed like it was a big deal yesterday, but it just doesn't sound like it's that big a deal. I mean, you're saying it's good that you got caught, and it's kind of a problem. It wasn't kind of a problem. It's a real serious problem. Well, a technique that I do in this stage is that I have folks, people around them, write them an impact letter. When I, and again, whatever the disorder is that I'm working with, but we'll use the pornography. If it's a male struggling with pornography, I'll have the wife write a letter discussing the impact of his actions. This is what your behavior has done to me. And then they have to read that. Again, having them understand that. Having them now begin to hear from other folks, wait a minute, here's really what you're doing. This isn't a small problem. This is a real serious problem. One of my favorite things is to ask them, well, when is it going to become a real problem? They say, it's kind of like, well, so when would it be like a serious problem? When would we have to do something about this? Because if we don't have to do something now, that's great. But let's define together what that's going to look like. Again, with internet pornography, I'd say something like, you know, because I tend to push the envelope a bit, which kind of keeps me always in a little bit of trouble. I'll say, so how about it's a real problem if your 12-year-old daughter walks into your office, catches you on the computer with your shorts down? Would that be a real problem? I mean, when is it going to be a real problem? You know, and they'll get a little defensive. I'm like, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm saying, let's just, if you're going to say it's not a real problem, that's okay. I don't have a right to tell you that it is, but I am going to ask you to define when it is. If it's someone with drinking, it's a real problem if I go back to drinking after this conversation. Oh, okay. So you're telling me, and then if you drink again, then it's a real problem. Great. So let's define that. And now we're going to write this down together. And the next time we follow up, we're going to talk about it. So then we come back, and if they've had the slip or if something's gone on, we say, no, wait a minute. Remember in that meeting? Remember when you got really irritated with me and I had you define when it was a real problem? This is what you said. It sounds like this has happened. So what are we going to do now? Again, because these are folks who are wrestling back and forth. Okay. They're doing that 49-51% split. They're shifting back and forth. A great story is the story of David and your Nathan, that you are that man. To have them get that picture. That was what was going on for David. David knew what he did. And you're being Nathan. You're coming in and you're speaking to Nathan. And I use that story with them. And being able to say, you know what, this is my role in your life. And I guess you're going to have to decide what you do with it. Because David had a couple choices. I mean, David being, you know, we can't even comprehend that level of power now. I mean, there was no CNN, no Fox News, no nothing. I mean, David could have just gone snap, snap, come in, had Nathan struck down, and that's it. It's gone. David had to make a choice. David was here, and then Nathan spoke truth, and it cracked him. So it's being able just to say that. I wonder if this were somebody else. If it's a male, and he's older, and he's got an older daughter, would say, so what would happen if your daughter came to you and said that her husband was dealing with this issue? Would that be a real problem? Again, and we're not attacking. What we're doing is we're helping break down their minimization. Now, finally here, and this is the stage where we really want to try to get everybody. And ultimately, we can do things to guide them there, but they have to open their heart to this. This is the full sharing of the struggle. And that normally happens progressively. Rarely do I get someone who comes in day one and they're going to lay everything out. They may lay out 85%, but they come in and they're going to let you know it all. They're not holding anything back. Everything's being shared. You'll know the whole story of the deep depravity of what they go through. And whatever that struggle is, whatever it is, if it's with alcoholism, if it's substance abuse, if it's food, if it's workaholism, they'll come in, they'll be able to really identify that I really see this very clearly as a real substantial problem in my life. They understand the seriousness of it, that this is critical. This is critical. The key thing, especially in ministry folks, is where they say, you know what, I don't care about my ministry right now. This is too important. This is about my relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is about my family, and I have to deal with this problem. I have to deal with it. And that, to me, is usually my litmus test. That's my litmus test. No one likes to give up a ministry or an occupation. They don't. And that's not something that we all run for or we're excited about. But when their heart is ready to surrender that, again, it's the prodigal son walking back. He was ready to go be a servant for his father. That was a heart that was ready. So it's striving for that in them. Are they ready to relinquish everything? And they'll understand the seriousness of that. Okay, again, ready to give up whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If I'm working with a teenager and he's smoking pot, you know what? We do a, hey, you got to change your playgrounds, your playmates, and your playthings. Okay, you need to change strategic areas in your life. You need to give up some friends. You need to relinquish some things in your life. Are you willing to do that? If we're talking about food, it's like, well, listen, are you really willing to get really serious about this and get an accountability group around you and work on eating 6 times a day as opposed to doing the binging and eating? Are you really willing to work on this? Are you willing to not try to do a crash diet? Are you willing to say it's going to take me 3 years to lose the weight, but I'm going to learn to deal with the inside stuff? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? And that's usually when folks are ready. That's when they're ready. Our job, where we'll do a lot of our work, is helping them bounce back and forth between acknowledgement and acceptance. Much like the stages of grief, I think sometimes folks have to wrestle with this for a while till they really stay here. Intervention, when these folks are ready, key thing is family support. Family support. Not just support of the individual. What we tend to do is the person, it's great. Yeah. I mean, the person who's come and has confessed, we want to rush around them and praise God. And it's exciting. And yes, praise God. It's exciting. It is. But however, there's also a spouse or a family that's been dealing with the ramifications of this behavior for a long time. We need to support the whole family. That includes the kids. Okay. Everybody needs support in this. It's connection to resource when they're really ready and they're coming to you. It's plugging them into resources to get them really ready to deal with it. These are folks that are going to step right in. They're going to want to work. They're going to want to move forward. They will be ready to go forward and step into it. Our responsibility at that time is to plug them into resource. You're going to be part of that, but you're not all of that. I'm part of that, but I'm not all of that. They can't come to me forever. And I don't like people that much. I don't want to see them that long. That really they can't come forever because we want to be enough for them. And you know what? We can't be. The best thing we can do is just what we do for our kids. Again, if you start thinking in terms of attachment, yes, we want them to attach to us. And initially they may over attach to us and connect. But then our job is to start to say, wait, we need to find other resources for you to go replicate what's happening here. Other places for you to be truthful, other people who can help you. So then resourcing them out to small groups, relationship with other folks, those types of things so that they can really begin to move forward. So if it's a single, we zero in on them and we can care for them and minister to them. In this realm, there's a part of it where with the single, it'll be easier in the sense that there's one person that we need to provide help for. One, we're dealing with a single, that's a whole other realm because part of what they may be dealing with is isolation and loneliness and plugging them into that. Why I really emphasize the family support is what tends to happen in families is that when a crisis happens, pornography or drinking or whatever it is, we focus on the individual and treat them like they're a single instead of caring for the whole family. So single, it's two sides. The one side is it's easier in terms of the people that we need to care for. The difficult part over here, though, is there's a whole other issue of loneliness and isolation. If it's someone that's real close, that may be someone that's going to write the impact letter. It's going to be impacted. Had a local pastor, a sexual issue, lost his ministry. All these resources came around him. I didn't meet him till almost a year later. His wife had never had a counseling appointment. So that's a year of that. So it's just really remembering that everybody, including kids, are going to need help.